So our scripture today is from John chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." So I named this communion. At New Burlington, I changed names of stuff. You'd think between 24 hours when I usually do the two of them, they'd be the same. But I got an email back from New Burlington said, because I called it Holy Communion. She said, "Are we doing communion again this week?" And I said, "No, it's just the name of the message." And so a couple beginning parts here. I think that when we read the four Gospels, we kind of mush them together. And we take these four different stories and we sort of read it like it's one story. Now, I think it's easy to do that on the first three because there's a lot of common parts. I personally find John hard to understand. And so I kind of view John as a whole separate grouping. I mean, it's just the way he does it is differently. And maybe that makes sense. Because the first three kind of make sense to me, and so maybe those are the three that I'm supposed to understand. And John, because he's so different, apparently somebody that reads the first three and goes, "Boy, I just don't get what those guys are talking about at all." And they read John and they go, "Oh, I get it. But John is hard for me to understand." And this part here, this scripture I read today, I think is difficult to understand. So my goal is to make it have some meaning to you and explain the history about kind of how this wording would have gone 2,000 years ago. So we read in the Old Testament all the time about animal sacrifices. We see that all the time. So I want to give you some history there. It was pretty common for all the people around the Jewish people to have animal sacrifices to their God. And so if you notice here, anytime I say God in this part, it's little g God, not what we would consider God. And so only part of the animal was burned at the sacrifice. Part of it was given to the priest kind of as a perk or a monetary for doing whatever the priest did at that time. And then the other part was a feast. And so you would have your friends and whoever was worshiping with you that day and family, and you would eat the rest of the animal that was burned at the sacrifice. The guest of this feast was their God. So the idea was, because you ate this sacrifice that was given to your God, when you left the meal, you literally left with little g God with you. That was where that came from. For us, I think a better understanding would be, when God sends Jesus to the earth, it's a way for him, and so I struggle with this a little bit, because I think God knows everything, but maybe it's more for us to know that God understands our humanity. That by sending Jesus, we have a better feel that he understands where we're really at. So it's facing our human situations. So I kind of broke these down into three parts. So we have temptations, and we saw where Jesus had those. Then Jesus was led up the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. Now, different versions, some say devil, some will say evil one. They have different versions, but it's Satan, who I would call Satan. Well, just as Jesus was tempted, we're tempted by things too. So we were playing golf yesterday, and somewhere along the line, we got to talking about every time you watch a sports show, there's always at least 52 gambling commercials. And the problem with gambling, so I'll do a John Wesley here thing on you. Problem with gambling is if you're spending your money gambling, you're probably not taking care of your family. You're probably not giving money back to your community. It's not so much that you're harming yourself. It's just that you're not using what God has given you to the best of the world. Now, I know that people talk about winning, but they must not win very often because they build really big hotels and stuff for people to come and spend all that money. And the last I knew, it wasn't free. So I'm guessing that they make a little more than they lose. And there are other things that tempt us. Are we tempted to go too fast when we're going down the road? I wasn't today because this line was flashing at me in Yorktown. Slow down, slow down. That's how you know you're going too fast. The sign up here on Jackson Street that tells me that, and I was only going 32. I thought flashing at me seemed a little harsh this morning. Seems like there'd be a little leeway there, but apparently at 32, it wanted me to slow down. And so there was nobody else around this morning. It was about 8:05, and so it's pretty easy to get zipping through there. Just be careful when you get to the stop sign, because one day there's a sheriff's deputy sitting there waiting for us to run the stop sign, I think. But we're all tempted to do those things. Sometimes they're not really that bad. Rolling through a stop sign isn't really bad as long as you don't meet someone coming from the other way that's rolling through the stop sign at the same time. But, you know, we have these rules that we're supposed to abide with. So these temptations, just as Jesus saw, we see each and every day. And we have human problems. And so this came from Matthew 15. This was when they were trying to feed the people at the Sermon on the Mount. And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And so those are human problems. And so we have problems. We went to the state fair this week, and they have some kind of a contest for companies. And what they do is you're supposed to build something that out of cans. And what they do with all the cans when they're done is they give them to the Gleaners Food Bank. And there's thousands of cans of whatever. And so one of them was supposed to be a bridge. It was a covered bridge going and a river underneath of it. So they used cans of tuna, because they were blue, as the river. And I hope somebody likes pork and beans, because that's what the brown was for the covered bridge. There are lots of cans of pork and beans for that bridge. And so we have these human problems where not everybody gets fed. We have problems where, again, page 2 of the paper, there's always some kind of a drug issue where people can't keep from taking drugs. And it causes them to be arrested. This lady worked out in her, she was already been arrested for 2 drug things, and she got arrested 3 more times while she was out on bail for the first 2. And so apparently she can't stop whatever causes her to do that. And so those are the kind of human problems we have. And then the last one I've got is relationships. And Peter said, "Even if I must die, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. And so we all have these relationship problems. Sometimes it's with people we know really well. Sometimes it's not. But the question is, how are we going to be able to keep right relationships with those around us? So when I said that we're going to see all of us, and we're going to love all of us, and we're going to try to lift this up, and I said sometimes it's harder to love some people than other people, it is harder sometimes to love some people than other people. Because for whatever reason, it's like they just poke you in the chest with their finger every time you're talking to them. And those are the ones that are hard to love, and they're hard to lift. And you see them because they're in your face, but it's not a nice see. And so human relationships are a problem for all of us. So from a Jewish standpoint here, they saw the blood in our bodies as life. And that's easy to understand. If you don't have good blood, you're going to have problems. And so from their point of view, that blood belonged to the Lord, to God. And so this idea of taking God's blood meant that we were going to have our hearts, our souls, and our minds filled with God's Spirit. And so if we're filled with God's Spirit, it's going to be hard for us to not take care of the widows. It's going to be hard for us not to take care of those in need. It's going to be hard for us, I talked last week or the week before, about how it was pretty common for people to cheat each other, to take advantage of situations. Same stuff that went on 2,000 years ago goes on today. Sometimes people are better at it because of technology. So Ann talked about this a few weeks ago because she got hacked. Benita got hacked, and all of a sudden, people are calling and emailing her saying, hey, I don't know where you're at, but I can send you some money because I guess you need some. She's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why do you think? Well, you sent me an email and said you needed some money because you guys were stuck someplace. No, that wasn't us. And all people are really trying to do is steal something from somebody and take advantage of a situation. They couldn't do that 2,000 years ago because they didn't have the internet. They would just steal from you in person. It was more direct. They put both thumbs on the scale when they were selling you the stuff. And so if we can bring God's Spirit into our hearts and lives, then everybody's going to get treated better. And not only are we treating people better, but when God's Spirit's in their life, then we should be treated better also. Now, one of the things I think we don't think about when we talk about 2,000 years ago, there was basically two groups of people. And so I view India as a better description. You either had stuff or you didn't have anything, because there was almost nobody in the middle. And when they talk about COVID going through India, and they have no idea how many thousands, if it's millions of people have died, because some people are so poor, they can't even have any kind of a funeral. They literally take the body of their loved one to the river and they put it in the river and that's it. And we just don't understand that kind of poor. Or when you go a long time ago, I got to go to Nassau. And when you get away from those resorts and you go back through those from one side of the island to the other, and you see people literally living in huts, that's poor. We don't really, I know we have people that think they don't have enough and they're poor. They're not poor like that. And so for us to be able to bring that Spirit of the Lord into our hearts and minds, it allows us to share the things that we have that need to be shared to be shared. So here's what John's trying to tell us. So here's where we get to the communion part of this story. We are constantly being requested by God to let him become part of our lives. So one of the scriptures talks about if we knock on the door, God will come in. God is constantly trying to get into our lives. Now, he did that by bringing Jesus Christ to what we call the earth. The common theme 2,000 years ago was that really only happened when you were celebrating communion. When you were celebrating communion, then that's when that Spirit of God would be in your lives. What John is trying to say in this is that same Spirit is with us all the time, and you can almost use it as a reminder for any meal that you're having, that God is involved in that. God makes all that possible. I don't know how, you got what, 10 or 15 pounds of tomatoes back there today, you think? There's a lot of tomatoes, let's just say that. That all happens. We don't know how that happens exactly. God made that happen. Now, we like to mess around and say, oh, well, we can make tomatoes little and we can make tomatoes big and we can make them red and yellow and blah, blah, blah. God did all that. He made all that happen. And so John's saying every meal we have is a communion because of God's Spirit coming into us. So instead of it only being in the church, since everything's God's, the whole world is God's cathedral. So somebody was showing us was Bill. Was it Bill showing a picture of a cathedral in Chicago last week? It was his son. I knew it was close to Bill. And so, which for me, that was pretty good. I remembered that part. And so he was showing us this beautiful cathedral. How many of us have been to the Grand Canyon? Or to Arches National Park? Or some, whatever it is, there is no place in the world more beautiful than that. Alaska. I was supposed to be there now, and our trip got canceled. Stupid COVID. Stupid Canadians wouldn't let us stop there. And so, if the whole world is God's cathedral, what John is saying is, you can have communion anytime, any place. It is not just supposed to be confined to the church or for the Jewish people, the temple. That we're not confined to that. Our only being confined is because we can't leave the earth. So there was I love science stuff. I'm just like the perfect age to remember all the space flights. They were showing all the Apollo space flights this week. So how many of you, Dale, you're too young for this. How many of you remember when they did the Christmas Eve service when they're circling the moon and they show back the Earth? It was probably 1968. It was amazing. And they probably couldn't do it now, but whichever astronaut it was, he starts by reading Genesis and saying God created the Earth. And it's really the first time that live we saw what the Earth looked like from 240,000 miles away. And that happened, I don't know if they did it on purpose or it just worked out that way, but they were going around the moon on Christmas Eve. And so that whole world that we were seeing that night, that I think it was night as I recall, that whole earth is God's cathedral. And all that black around us is God's cathedral. But for us, what we see is the Grand Canyon, Alaska, the hills in southern Indiana. I had a funeral a couple weeks ago, and the family was from New Mexico, and a bug landed on one of the kid's legs, and he looked at his dad and said, "Dad, is that a mosquito?" Because in New Mexico, too dry, don't have mosquitoes. He had never seen a mosquito before. He still hasn't, because that was a sweat bee, but he was at least looking for the mosquito. And so all these things that we sort of take for granted, and we do it by region. I mean, we know there's mosquitoes. People in New Mexico have heard about them. They've just never seen them unless they've gone someplace else. And so all that's God's world, and this communion can happen anytime. We're open to letting God work in us. And so the last thing here is, the idea of this communion, to let God's Spirit work with us, is that no matter who we are, old man, old women, young man, young women, the youngest child, whether they're 6 hours old or whether they're Sawyer turned six last week or whether you're six, we are supposed to enjoy the gifts that God gives us. So when we see each other, when we love each other, when we lift each other up every chance we get to embolden, inspire, any of those other words from the Merriam-Webster dictionary that I stole today, all those things allow us to better see the gifts that God gives us and not to take them for granted. So when we have prayer and I talk about God sightings, I want us to be aware of what God does in our lives each and every day. It's easy to remember the bad things that happen, and they're reinforced by what we see in the newspapers or read or hear on the radio or see on TV. But I want us to remember the great things that God does in our lives each and every day. When you're working with the kids on the poultry stuff, our 2-year-old would die to do that because he likes, what's he called, chickens? Chips, cheeps, whatever. They're not chickens, but he loves them. He doesn't want to pet them or anything, but he loves looking at them. He was very surprised at the fair that all pigs are not pink, because in all of his books, every single pig is pink. And when he saw the first black and white one, and we said, well, there's a pig, he goes, no, not pink. And I went, I'd never thought of that before. In every single one of his books, the pig is pink. And so we had to explain to him that not all pigs were pink. I think he thinks we don't know what we're talking about. But for him, that was what his expectation was. If we expect to see God in things, we're going to see God's work. We want to see God at work every single day. We want to be open to his love and his grace to lead us into what he wants us to do. Let us pray. Father, be with us all as we go into your world. Let us lift up those that we see, that we take the time to really look at, and let us make sure they know how much that we love them. And also, Father, bring people into our lives that lift us up, love us, and see us as well. We're so grateful that you made us part of your life and your world. Let us be open to your guidance and direction. Amen.